You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Thursday morning, October 30th, 2025. October 30th. Happy birthday to my oldest daughter. It means I've been a parent for years. She's at that age now. You can't say that my 8-year-old daughter or my 10-year-old daughter. Now it's my 30-something daughter. So happy birthday. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Spending your mornings right here as we get set for Halloween, just one day away. November, just 2 days away. I got a question for you. Do you trust Joe Namath to sell you health insurance? Or Jimmy Walker, remember J.J. Walker from Good Times, or William Shatner from Star Trek, or some of the other, you know, D-list celebrities that are in these ads for health insurance through something called Medicare Advantage? If you're, you know, say under 50, you probably don't think about this at all. You probably don't notice the commercials one bit. But if you have a parent that is approaching, you know, 65, or if you yourself are getting there and you're starting to pay attention to this kind of stuff, like I am in my impending elderliness, and with a parent who just turned 80 and is looking at a Medicare Advantage plan that she'd had for years and is now being canceled. And so she and a whole bunch of other seniors around the country have to find new Medicare Advantage plans. I mean, everybody has to do a lot of homework real fast. So we've got an expert coming in today to talk about that at 7:35, and she'll tell us all about, you know, what to look for in Medicare. Now, let me back up a second here, because I don't blame you if you don't. Well, what's Medicare Advantage? Blah, blah, blah. Medicare, the actual Medicare, the thing that got set up back in the 60s, all right, was to make sure you've paid your taxes all your life, all your working years. And when you turn 65, your healthcare is just taken care of by and large. Well, somewhere along the line, some politicians allowed regular old insurance companies to sneak in there and offer their own plans and call it Medicare Advantage, even though it is nothing like regular Medicare. And the problem is, once you decide to go with one of those plans, it's tough to go back to original Medicare, and you're suddenly trapped in that web that you thought you got rid of when you retired and you could just get regular Medicare. So we're going to talk about the difference between regular Medicare versus these Medicare Advantage plans. They do have some, pun intended, advantages, but the disadvantages are something you really ought to consider before you put your name on the dotted line someplace. So stick around for that. That's coming up. We will also be talking to Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets. I got 5 trillion reasons for you to be concerned about a stock market bubble, because we hear all about, you know, how the stock market is going great guns right now, so the economy must be great. No, it's not. It's not. There is such a bubble brewing in AI right now, and Sean O'Malley is going to help share some of the warning signs with us. So that's coming up along the way as well. And of course, your input, which is always welcome by phone, by text, by comment, by email, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or use that Civic Media app to call us, to text us, to send us a voice note, or jump in the comment sections of Facebook or YouTube. That would be the Up North News Facebook or YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages. And it's on there where, let me bring the card up here on for social media, where people can see there's a lot fewer leaves here along Lake Wissota right now. Parker Olson joining us from Madison Studio A2, where I would imagine the leaves have been falling fast and furious by you as well.
Yes, they have. There are about no leaves on the tree I park my car under.
They're about no lead. Yeah, we're getting there rapidly. So I'm hoping for decent weather this weekend, because then it's just going to be me and a leaf blower. Just then you hear it all throughout the neighborhood, like, because raking stinks if you've got more than a postage stamp size lawn. So okay, if you can use power to get those leaves out of there, why the heck wouldn't you? So wow. We've got lovely fall weather out here.
I didn't know you felt so strongly about your leaf blower.
Come on, it's a lot of fun. I've done the raking thing, and I'm not immune.
Hands are too old.
These hands are they're so dainty and delicate. And no. But they do, after a while, it's like, okay, this is getting old. Can't we do something? It's about speed more than actually about power or hands or anything else. It's like, can we get this chore done with already? Especially if, I mean, it's one thing if you've got little kids. I remember having to rake all the leaves in a pile and the kids jump in. Oh, it's fun. It really is. It's great. Yeah. But at some point you don't have that anymore. And you're just like, oh, let's just get these out of here, you know? And, sure, you know, preferably in my case, down the bank, you know, close to the lake. But because I like both my neighbors on either side, but there have been years in the past with different neighbors.
Oh,
it's like, oh no, the wind was suddenly out of the east. I don't know how that happened. Oh, well,
oops.
So
that's a shame.
Look at me making trouble on the street here already. Let's see. We also have, well, you pay attention to the WIAC.
I do. Thank you. Okay. Pat, thank you. Thank you for saying WIAC.
Okay.
Because that is correct.
The Wisconsin Intergalactic Athletic Conference.
Oh, yes. Intergalactic. I like it.
Yeah. So that'd be like your UW, Whitewater, Eau Claire, Platteville, things like that. And apparently, does somebody else not say WIAC?
A lot. This is a massive debate in like the Division III community of whether it's WIAC or WIAC. Okay.
No, WEAC is the teachers union, WEAC, the Wisconsin Education Association Council. That's WEAC. I have never heard the WIAC called the WEAC. So who's ever doing that needs to sit down. That's just wrong.
I want you to know I'm clipping this and I am sending it to my friends.
Good.
Because this is very important.
This is it's not just important, kids. It's basic.
Okay? It is. It is.
It's the WIAC. Anyway, Platteville from the WIAC,
yes,
was the opponent for the Wisconsin Badgers in this year's Guardian Against Cancer Classic. I might have the name wrong on that, but you know, the Guard Brothers were coaches, the respective coaches at Madison and Platteville. And how did I assume the Badger men prevailed in this instance?
The Badgers did win. I don't think it was as pretty as they wanted it to be.
Here it is, 69-53, Badgers over Platteville. Yeah. Final tune-up game for the Badgers before their season begins next Monday against, of course, the Fighting Camels of Campbell University.
Darn right.
Which I'm never going to take seriously. Unless, of course, the Badgers manage to lose next Monday. Then it's a whole different thing. But Badgers begin the regular season next week. And you said, Platteville actually put up a bit of a fight?
I believe so, yeah. I think I read that they actually were up like 8-0 or something like that.
I could see that. I mean, there was the one year, you know, they rotate schools, and one year it was UW-Eau Claire, and we went down to Madison to see the Blue Golds play, you know, the Badgers. And of course, the Badgers ultimately prevailed. But you get that false sense of security when the Badgers are just kind of doing their rope-a-dope strategy and just letting, you know, seeing what the other team has got. So I'm sure the Platteville fans enjoyed that. But yes, in the end, ultimately, the Badger men were victorious, as were the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yes.
Who beat the LA Dodgers 6-1 last night to come within a game of clinching the World Series. Game 6 will be tomorrow night as Team Canada and Team
America, everyone but LA.
Team everyone but LA, actually. Yes. Roots for Toronto in tomorrow night's game. The Dodgers looked so quiet last night in the parts that I saw. The ones where we're watching the Brewers going, come on, guys. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. And you could just, they kept doing cutaways of the crowd, the Dodger crowd, just all looking like, come on, guys. Come on, guys. Anytime, guys.
Please.
And it was like they ran out of gas. They're just done. Now, can they pull off one game, much less two in Canada? Sure, it's possible. I mean, we've seen that lineup. We see what it can do. Right. But at this point, Toronto definitely has the momentum. And that would be all right with us, you know.
Yeah. I'm okay with the Blue Jays winning. Yeah,
we can do that. Let's see, one news clip to tell you about, and then we're going to hear from Sherita Booker as we talk about weekend events that you might consider attending at points around Wisconsin this weekend. But as the government shutdown drags on, and we look back at the record of what some of these folks in Congress have had to say, you know, in the past about government shutdowns and budgets and things like that, something really grabbed our attention from Western Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden, who, like others, tries to do this job of pretending to be a moderate, pretending to call out the right wing of his party, when in fact he is a, you know, dues-paying member of the right wing of his party. But he was on something called the John Frederick Show in December of last year. So they knew they were about to take control of Congress. Donald Trump had just won the presidential election. They were going to have the House and the Senate and the White House. And this is what Congressman Derek Van Orden had to say about being in the majority, and therefore they were able to pass a budget. They were going to do whatever it is they wanted to do. And if they couldn't get their stuff together, well, then by gum, they should pay a price for that. Listen to what Derek Van Orden had to say.
When we have unified government, I'll be very clear about this. When we have unified government, if we cannot get our 12 appropriations bills through in a budget, then we don't deserve to be in the majority any longer. We don't. You know, I don't sugarcoat anything. And I'll take the paint off anybody that is talking smack about these sorts of things. That includes members of my own party. So a lot of the reasons you got to understand that we didn't get a lot of things done was because of members of the Republican Party. Some of our far right guys held things up in the Rules Committee. They voted against rules if the rule passed, and they prevented a lot of these measures getting through. So that's true. The other side of the coin is anything we do has to get through the Senate, which was controlled by Chuck Schumer. It still is until we get through January. So I'll say that again real clear. When we have unified government, if we can't get our 12 appropriations bills through and a budget passed, then we do not deserve to be in the majority, period.
I'm Derek Van Orden, and I approve this message. There, game, set, match, from Derek Van Orden himself. If they can't get their 12 appropriations bills, because if you don't know the background, there isn't like one federal budget bill. It's broken up into pieces called appropriations bills. There's 12 of them total. Some pass ahead of others because some need more debate, et cetera, et cetera. They can't do any of that. They passed the one big bloated boondoggle because it wasn't a full federal budget. It was just a roadmap of, you know, trillions of dollars in cuts to make to give tax cuts to the very wealthy. Big time cuts in Medicaid and in SNAP. SNAP benefits are going to run out this weekend, even though they don't have to, because there's a multi-billion dollar contingency fund that the Trump administration is refusing to use. They actually want families to go hungry, to put pressure on Democrats to cave in and let Republicans jack up health insurance costs under the Affordable Care Act. And Derek Van Orden is telling you, well, once we're in control, if we can't get those appropriations bills passed, if we are that dysfunctional, we should not be in the majority. So that's an interesting bit of audio that is not the last time you're going to hear that played. That basically is the 2026 message about how the Republicans have done in Washington so far. Temperatures in Wisconsin range from 23 in Merrill to 43 in Door County. It's 34 in Wausau, 37 in Oshkosh, 34 in La Crosse, and 27 degrees here in the Chippewa Valley. Sherita Booker tells us about trains, wine, and lizards for weekend events all after the break. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, let's talk about your money in the markets with Sean O'Malley joining us now. Mr. O'Malley, how are you?
I'm doing well, Pat. How are you doing this great morning?
I'm doing fine. We're really going to look at your expertise here in financial compliance and all the things that just make my red flags go up about what is happening in the markets, the way that money is moving all around in one particular area. And what led me to this, Sean, was this headline about a company that is now worth, it has a market capitalization of $5 trillion with a T dollars. I have a tough enough time with the concept of any one person being a billionaire, how much it would take to collect and spend $1 billion to have a $5 trillion company just sounds fishy to me. And it tells me that there might be more behind this current stock market run that does not appear to reflect the greater economy. Does it raise some red flags with you?
Absolutely, Pat. This is one of the things that we call a concentration risk. Right now, the company you're talking about, of course, is NVIDIA. They make up a huge proportion of the market capitalization weighted S&P 500 index. So basically, whatever happens with NVIDIA, that's what's happening with the S&P 500 index to a large extent, because they are literally, I think, about a quarter of the weight given their capitalization. Now, here's the really funny thing, though. This bubble thing isn't exactly new. When I was in London 2.5 weeks ago, I took a picture of an article that I read that I thought was particularly interesting. And it was entitled, Are We in an AI Bubble? It was from the London Sunday Times and authored by John Yeomans. And he had 8 reasons for why he felt that was the case. Now, I noted in there, looking, sort of zooming in on that photo, this was 2.5 weeks ago. NVIDIA's market cap at that point in time was $4.7 trillion. So in those 2.5 weeks, they have gone up $300 billion in market capitalization.
There's nothing realistic about that.
No, that's like saying, okay, yeah, we went up 6% in 2 weeks.
It's like we're playing whose line is it anyway with the stock market, where the points don't matter.
You know? And there are a number of people that I listen to that do very intelligent podcasts online where the comment has been that, I mean, a couple of comments. One, it feels more like we're gambling now. It feels more like we're in a casino rather than the stock market. And the second one was, you know, talking about the fact that we, with the government shutdown, we have no economic data to go on. We were supposed to get GDP this morning. We don't have that. We are supposed to get initial jobless claims for the week. We don't have that. We haven't had it since September 20th. You know, unemployment, haven't seen that since September. So we are literally flying blind. We don't really know what's going on. And yet the market keeps going up and AI is riding it.
Which enables, you know, again, the current administration to say whatever they want to say and to say everything is just hunky-dory. But it's not all hunky-dory. I mean, we see it just in the numbers, the crazy tens of thousands of numbers of layoffs that have been announced so far this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Fed's rate cut this week clearly has a lot of support, given that they say that they're focusing on the labor market. And you just look at the litany of companies that have laid off. I mean, I'm not going to go through all of them, but I mean, Intel, don't forget, U.S. government owns 10% of that. 24,000 employees laid off. Mm-hmm. Amazon, 14, and they're estimated to go up to 30,000. Now, Amazon, interestingly, has told their board of directors that they are going to be able to double their revenues between now and 2033 without adding any additional staff. None. Not one more human involved in the process, but we're going to double revenues.
Wow. Look at these, though. Nestle, 16,000 employees cut. Yeah. UPS, 14,000. Ford, 11,000. And on and on. People closer to home heard about Target cutting 1,800 employees. And I get that in a lot of instances, these announcements are accompanied by, well, AI means we can do more with fewer people. I really get the suspicion that there are more fundamentals at play, but AI is an easy thing to cite rather than to say, you know, this current administration's kind of screwing up the economy.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's both are happening.
Yeah. I'm saying
the current administration has no idea what they're doing with the economy, which is why nobody's making any investments in this economy. We have become the pariah globally in trade and all transactions and investment of all sorts. Everybody's sort of trying to placate President Trump, saying, "Oh yeah, we're going to come in and do investment, but we'll see if it actually happens."
And yet, that leads to what you would call a generational gap in terms of where the market is going right now, in light of these Federal Reserve cuts.
Correct. And we've talked about this, sort of topic before, but we're putting a label on it now. We talked about who is going to sort of win and lose with the economy, and now they're putting a label on it. It's the generational gap. So older people who have more wealth in stocks are going to do fine. They're doing well. But younger generations that are more debt burdened, are dealing in, obviously don't, most of them don't own their home. So they're dealing with rental prices that are ever increasing, and student loan debt that they have to deal with, and, other things that, most of us had to deal with a lot of debt when we were younger. That problem has gotten worse. So what we're seeing is older graying America doing very well financially, and the younger generation, 20s, 30s, early 30s, I guess I'd say probably more, really not doing well and not having much of a chance to get ahead.
No, and it leads to that. This much I've learned about the alphabet covering economic recoveries. There's either the V-shaped recovery, where it's a quick recovery, the U-shaped recovery, where it's a long, hard slog, and then worst of all for some people, the K-shaped one, where some go up really nicely and some really not so much. We're talking to Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets. We'll talk a little bit more about the AI bubble that appears to be out there, and then we'll bring in Joseph Pecky and Todd Alba before we're all done on a Thursday morning, live from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is Up North News. This is Up North News powered. See what happens when you change the name of the show.
You
this
can
is
do
Mornings
it.
With Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. We should record this.
Atta kid.
Matt and Aaron here is coming up next here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane and Greg will welcome in Todd Alba at 9:35, and then just after 10 a.m., Corrine Hendrickson, candidate for State Senate and a member of Main Street Alliance, will be joining them again just after 10 o'clock this morning for Matt and Aaron on air. Later on the Maggie Dawn Show at 4 o'clock, Angela Lang, the executive director at Block, will be part of the program. Again, head to civicmedia.us to learn more. Ruth Cunniff joins us now from the Wisconsin Examiner, and we'll be talking about a few different things the Examiner is following, including her latest column, Wisconsin School Children Become a 2026 Campaign Issue in the Worst Possible Way. We'll get to that and some of the other stories we're following with Ruth now. Ruth Cunniff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thanks.
It's good to have you here, and we'll come to the article in just a bit, but first I wanted to mention that the Examiner, like everybody else, is covering the story today about the basically monster hike in health insurance premiums that's coming. And it was a case of Governor Evers, along with the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance, putting out specific numbers yesterday, which really takes it, Ruth, beyond, some kind of ethereal, thing about, well, the things might happen. These are the things that are actually going to happen to these kinds of households in these kinds of counties. It was a very specific illustration of the pain that lies ahead.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. My deputy, Eric Gunn, covered that yesterday. He went down to Milwaukee and saw the press conference that Evers held down there and is reporting all the numbers from the Wisconsin Commissioner of Insurance this morning on our website at wisconsinexaminer.com. And it's really pretty frightening to look at the kinds of health insurance hikes that people are facing. And as Tammy Baldwin said yesterday, many people are simply going to have to drop their insurance because they don't have the money to cover these kinds of expansions. It's very uneven across the state.
Yes.
Some people are looking at just a 10% hike, but that is the minority of residents of the state of Wisconsin, because overall 39% in Waukesha County, up to as high as 100% for a 60-year-old couple in Barron County. So it's very, very significant.
It is. And I urge people to look at the articles and more to find out. Just to give that one example in dollars and cents, in Barron County, if you're a 60-year-old, you're a couple making $85,000 a year, you're still 5 years away from Medicare, Social Security, you know, full benefits, or 7 years away, I think, at that age. You're currently paying $340 a month for a silver level plan. Starting Saturday, instead of $340, it'll be $3,103. That's $33,000 a year that you would have to have lying around, or decide to go without health insurance. And that's where, again, many people are going to go. And Ruth, you and I have been doing this long enough. We remember the news stories pre-Affordable Care Act of people going without health insurance and the, you know, the financial and life tragedies that befell people.
Yeah, it's been such a significant improvement in quality of life for health insurance to be more accessible to millions and millions of people across this country. And, you know, the big issue right now that is holding up the end of the government shutdown is that Democrats are insisting that Congress fix the sunset of Affordable Care Act insurance subsidies, which is about to hit. So, you know, since 2021, people have been able to afford their insurance better because of this, you know, this boost from the government covering healthcare, the insurance premiums that people are otherwise paying. And that's about to go away. And so, you know, there's just this political war on about who's to blame for the government shutdown. Is it Republicans who control every branch of government, or is it Democrats who don't want to pass a resolution to reopen the government without fixing this problem? And this is the problem now, what we're looking at today, this announcement in Wisconsin of these massive skyrocketing premiums for people who are getting getting their health care through the Affordable Care Act marketplace. So, you know, I think that's the thing that people kind of need to focus on, not so much the who's to blame battle that's going on in Washington, but the actual dollars and cents problem that people across Wisconsin are going to face starting Saturday when they can no longer afford health care.
We're talking to Ruth Conniff, editor-in-chief at the Wisconsin Examiner, and I can't ever have a conversation with Ruth without talking a bit about migrant farm labor in Wisconsin. And her book, Milked, is required reading to understand the immigration crisis in this nation from a Wisconsin and dairy industry standpoint. You did have an article or a column earlier this month about tariffs and the immigration crackdown taking a toll on Wisconsin farmers and, of course, their farm laborers. How would you best describe from an overview where we are, you know, three coming up on 4 weeks into this shutdown from the standpoint of Wisconsin farms and specifically Wisconsin's dairy industry?
Well, the shutdown is really bad for farmers. And one of the things that it's delaying is Trump's promised subsidies for farms that are supposed to make up for the impact of tariffs. I mean, farmers in Wisconsin and across the country are paying really high prices for fertilizer, for farm equipment because of the trade wars that Trump started with his tariffs. And then on top of that, China in May stopped buying all soybeans from the United States. Well, China is the biggest soybean customer in Wisconsin, and that's a major crop in our state. So farmers are unsure whether they will be able to sell their soybean crop, which is, you know, a record crop this year, at all. It's harvest time and their biggest customer is not available. So, you know, this has been a huge problem for farmers. It has caused farmers across the country in sort of the main national survey of farmer outlook to say that they are pessimistic about their economic prospects right now. And that's, you know, that's brutal. And then on top of that, we have this immigration crackdown. So farmers are hanging on for this subsidy that's supposed to make up for the impact of tariffs. That's what Trump has promised them. But, you know, as a former USDA official I interviewed about this said, it's not even robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's robbing Peter to pay Peter to create a subsidy out of what Trump says is the revenue coming in from tariffs. Well, that revenue is what farmers are paying in high prices for farm equipment and fertilizer. Trump is promising to turn around and give them a bailout using their own money. You know, what farmers want is markets that work for them to be able to sell their products and make a living. And that is not on the horizon right now. You know, there's a vague promise that somehow tariffs are going to improve that situation, are going to counteract the long-term effects of, you know, global economic, you know, selling your product at a low price on a global on a global marketplace is hard, and that is a problem that needs to be addressed. But it's not at all clear how this chaotic economic situation that we're in now with trade wars and tariffs is advancing the ball on that. So that's where they are currently with the shutdown. And then on top of that, the threat of mass deportation is a big, big deal for Wisconsin, because our dairy industry depends on the labor of immigrants who are not allowed to get a visa through our current system, because year-round farm work does not qualify for a visa. The H-2A visa, which is a farm work visa that most farm workers who can get a visa use, is seasonal only. So if you have a year-round industry, it is automatically disqualified from that visa. So here we have an industry in the dairy industry that for decades has depended, 60 to 90% of the labor is immigrant labor. They can't qualify for a visa because Congress has never fixed that system and created a year-round visa. And so now we're threatening to deport all these guys. But what's going to happen to our dairy industry if we lose 60 to 90% of our labor? It can't survive that. So no, that's a major crisis.
It can't sustain that. And there are people that could be working on these things, like Congressman Derek Van Orden, who's got a very dairy heavy congressional district, or Congressman Tom Tiffany, who's been in office in Congress and the legislature long enough. And instead, switching gears to a different story that you're following, Tom Tiffany, who's now running for governor, was there on the steps of the Capitol late last week talking about his outrage over a Cap Times investigation tracking more than 200 cases of alleged child sexual abuse by Wisconsin teachers and the way that these cases were handled by the State Department of Public Instruction. But again, this is me editorializing for a moment. This is Rich coming from a guy who, you know, has not exactly been calling for the release of the Epstein files. So you do a wonderful job of putting this into perspective, of saying, look, these are serious allegations. There's some serious cases here, but let's not be fooled by the outright politicization of this matter from certain politicians as well.
Yeah, I'm really dismayed by what has happened with that story. The Cap Times spent a year doing an investigation in which they found these 200 cases. And in many cases, the Department of Public Instruction in Wisconsin allowed teachers to give up their licenses voluntarily and then dropped these investigations against them. The suggestion in the Cap Times story is that this amounts to a cover-up, or, you know, hiding, shielding is the word they used, these cases. It's a little more complicated than that. Jill Underley, the state superintendent, argues that teachers who give up their teaching license are now in a national database, and they're taken away from children. And furthermore, it's not DPI's job to continue to investigate people who are no longer in the profession. So, I mean, I think there's something to be said for that. The problem is Jill Underley went to get an award from her alma mater in Indiana instead of showing up for the legislative hearing on this issue, prompted by that Cap Times investigation, which really gives the impression that she doesn't care very much about something that is becoming a major scandal. And is, frankly, you mentioned Tom Tiffany and his press conference at the Capitol, it's going to be a big campaign issue. And it feeds into this political environment in which for many, many years, Republicans and the incredibly powerful school choice lobby in Wisconsin have been pushing the message that public schools have failed, that we should take the money that we spend on public education, pull it out of the public schools, and hand it over to private school operators. And that is increasingly a huge problem for the finances of public education in our state. So that's kind of the political backdrop. You know, basically, this is a gift to the Tom Tiffany campaign and to Republicans who are running in 2026 to say, look at these terrible teachers. You know, they're sexual predators, and the Department of Public Instruction is hiding this from you. And it's actually not quite that, but it's really important to push back because, you know, for one thing, the private schools that Republicans want to channel money into have zero oversight.
They're less accountable.
The teachers don't even need to have a license. So the teachers in private schools could be doing anything. We don't know. And the concerns raised in that Cap Times investigation, lack of transparency, lack of accountability, lack of a record that shows the public what's going on with these investigations, that's going to be much worse in the private schools. We're just not going to see what's happening there. And we don't hold these teachers accountable. So that's, you know, it's an unfortunate narrative that contributes to the destruction of our once great public school system in Wisconsin. But Underley really shares some blame for this. She needs to show up.
She, if I recall right, she turned down request interviews by the Cap Times prior to this coming out, which to me was.
She herself claimed it would be a conflict of interest for her to talk to the Cap Times, which is silly. Mm-hmm. And I feel sorry for her deputies at DPI who showed up very well prepared at this legislative hearing. But the news out of that hearing was that Underly herself was too busy, you know, getting an award from her alma mater to come in person.
Right. So, and look, I'm leaving room for, because I don't put it past the Republican members to understand that Underly already had a previously scheduled trip and may have monkeyed around with the schedule. To me, the original sin was Jill Underly not sitting down with a reporter or making every deputy, you know, imaginable available to do this. And like you said, it's opened up the door for all kinds of, politics to be played with something, which is exactly why your headline says that the children have become a campaign issue in the worst possible way. You can read this full column and much more at the Wisconsin Examiner. Head over to wisconsinexaminer.com. Ruth Conniff, Editor-in-Chief, thank you very much for some much-needed background on this. We appreciate it.
Great to be with you, Pat. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Ruth. We will have some final news and notes from Lake Wissota coming up after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Tomorrow morning on the program, we will be joined by Ellie Bordeaux of Up North News. She puts together our daily newsletter. You can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe up in the banner at the top of the homepage to get what she is putting together and out early every morning. And Ellie will join us tomorrow just after the news at 7 to talk a bit about things that she has put in the newsletter and things that will be in future newsletters as well. We'd love to have you along as a subscriber. Same goes for our weekend newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And on there, we took a look at the week in politics and include a question of the week. And as I am continuing to discover, people are very divided on the topic of a nuclear power plant, whether there should be a new one built in Wisconsin. There are plenty of people very passionate that we should not. There are plenty of people who understand that there are risks, but with safeguards, we would have nuclear power that is not fossil fuel based and would not damage the climate. So where do you come down on that? You can send us a note through all the normal ways here, through the comment sections, through the Civic Media app. But if you want to be able to answer first, to get signed up for that newsletter, head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe up in the banner on top of the homepage. All right, well, with the government shutdown, there's something happening that has not really happened before in a government shutdown that looks to be happening here shortly. And that is SNAP running out of money, nutritional benefits for lower income families. In past government shutdowns, there was agreement that, look, we're debating other things about funding the government, but hungry families shouldn't go hungry. Kids shouldn't go hungry. Those benefits continued. The only time it was ever in jeopardy was during the shutdown that happened during the first Trump term. But again, at the last moment, it was saved. This time around, the Trump administration is hell-bent on making sure that, you know, kids in lower-income families don't get enough food to eat, and refusing to budge, even though there is additional money available. There are supplemental funds the USDA could be using to apply towards SNAP benefits, but they choose not to because the cruelty is the point of this. The same goes for the spike that's coming in health insurance premiums as a result of the government shutdown. The government shutdown is happening because premium tax credits for the Affordable Care Act, the things that make health insurance more affordable in the Affordable Care Act marketplace, are expiring. This is extra help that was put in during the pandemic, and it made a real difference to families. It continues to make a real difference. It's the kind of thing that, frankly, should have happened a lot earlier pre-pandemic to make healthcare more attainable, more affordable for families. But politics being what it is, you get the best deal that you can get. And 4 years ago, there was this agreement in Congress. All right, we're going to have these enhanced premium tax credits, things that make these policies more affordable. And we'll do it for 4 years. That seems to be the best that we can do to get it past Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema and anybody else. So there they are. And they're getting set to expire. And now you've got people, Derek Van Orden most recently saying, it was the Democrats that set it up to expire. This is all they're doing. Technically true. But again, rewind the clock. Let's go back. 2017, the first Trump administration, and the massive corporate tax breaks, the massive tax breaks geared toward the very wealthy that were set to expire back in 2017, they set it for 8 years. They're going to expire at the end of this year. What did the Trump administration want? They wanted those tax cuts to continue, some of them to be made permanent. And that's what they got. So it's not like they have to go away because you reach the end of a particular cycle. If it's something that's worth fighting for, Republicans clearly thought it was worth fighting for the very rich. And that's what they got done. And now it's Democrats who are fighting for what they believe in, which is affordable health care. Whose side would you rather be on in that debate, by the way? The billionaires getting the extra tax cuts along with the corporations, or the families who, like you, could be one job loss away or one cancer diagnosis or one car crash away from medical bankruptcy? That's what Democrats are fighting for. And Republicans are so hell-bent on protecting the health insurance companies and the corporate profits that come from it, that they would rather keep the government shut down than negotiate with Democrats and somehow keep trying to find ways to blame them. So the premium credits are going away. And the open enrollment period begins on November 1st. That's this Saturday. And some of the prices are already being released as far as how much more it's going to cost Wisconsin families. And the Office of Commissioner of Insurance put out some examples. So here are some examples for you quick before we take a break here. Family of four, income $130,000 a year, and you're looking for a silver plan on the marketplace, and you live in Eau Claire County. And right now, thanks to those enhanced tax credits, that family of four pays $704 a month for health insurance, $700 a month for health insurance. When those tax credits go away come Saturday, if they want to renew, it's going to cost $2,700, not $700, $700. That's $24,000 a year in higher health insurance costs. In Racine County, it goes from $1,000 for that family of four to $2,400 a month, for a total of $16,600 a year more that Republicans want you to pay. If you're 60 years old and it's just a couple living together, $85,000 a year income, and you're, say, in Brown County, currently costs you $600 starting Saturday, $2,700, an extra $25,000 a year for a couple that's still 5 years away from qualifying for Medicare and Social Security. And there's more. I'll give you more throughout the coming days here. Examples of this is what Republicans actually want. They'd rather protect the health insurance company profits than to take your taxes and make health insurance more affordable for everybody. Instead, they want to give it away to billionaires. That's your money they're doing it with. Today's history lesson is next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.